The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So earlier this morning I mentioned the practice of noticing peace, noticing some tranquility or ease or stillness that might be in our experience. And there are times when that sense of peace, tranquility, relaxation, peace is stronger, and times when it's weaker. But regardless how present it is, if it's present, it creates an interesting opportunity, and that is that it can highlight the loss of the peace. It can highlight the ways in which that which is not peaceful or that which is not tranquil or not still or not relaxed. And part of the function of being somewhat relaxed or at ease is the way in which it can help us see how we're not. So it seems a little paradoxical perhaps, but these things can exist side by side, together. You can hold, if you hold your body still, you might see how much agitation is in your body. But if you're really busy and you're active and moving and everything, you might be moving faster than your agitation. And you don't know, maybe you won't know that you're agitated. So some people don't know they're tense until they finally stop and relax because they're so busy and doing. And then you can, in that stopping, being a little bit more relaxed, and then you can notice what you didn't notice. So both are there at the same time. So this juxtaposition or this contrasting of being at ease and not at ease, being relaxed and not relaxed, being peaceful and not peaceful, gives us an opportunity then to notice and study what happens to us, what's going on to us that makes us agitated, that helps, makes us tense or to lose our peace. And one of the things that I'd like to suggest today, to kind of point to, that maybe is interesting for you, is that we lose our peace often by defining ourselves by our experience, by defining ourselves by ideas, by defining ourselves in relationship to other people, by defining ourselves in some way. And this idea of defining ourselves is having an image or a concept by which we then limit ourselves or categorize ourselves or hold ourselves to, is often limits people quite a bit. We limit ourselves dramatically by it, more often than not. And it's hard sometimes to see in oneself, but sometimes it's easier to see in others, or it's easier to see when people do it to you. So maybe some of you have been in a situation where someone clearly was seeing you through a very limited lens. Maybe once upon your life, you were angry, but you happen to be angry around that person. And every time that person sees you, they're kind of like seeing, oh, that you're an angry person, and you want to say, wait a minute, hey, that was once, that was 10 years ago. But they kind of still don't want to see you another way. Or sometimes people are seen for their occupation, for who they are. And people relate to them through that filter of, that's kind of the only way people will see you. Or sometimes it's through your relationship, like your spouse. You're seen as the person's spouse as opposed to being a person on your own right. And so people say, wait a minute, I'm here. I'm not just a spouse. I'm something else here too. I'm a person. Or people are seen for their ethnicity, or for their social class. America, we don't have social class, right? So we don't see it, but there's definitely classes here, and so we're seen, and it can be very limiting to be seen that way. So sometimes you can see it; people treat you that way, if people know that you're a meditator, they might see you have expectations. They define you by, oh, you're supposed to be calm all the time. And it's quite burdensome to have people around you thinking, expecting you, wanting you to be calm. You're supposed to be the calm person. What's wrong with you? And they wouldn't occur that something was wrong with someone else because they were agitated. They're just agitated. But you're not, you know, so you're being defined that way. So I think sometimes it's, you can feel it. You can feel how limiting it is and to be defined by other people. And then there are times when we define other people. We limit them. And we see them through, sometimes it's necessary or close to necessary. If a police officer pulls you over in your car, you should operate by the definition that they're a police officer, not that they're a parent or, you know, a child of someone else, or they have different roles, or they're the little league coach. That's not the time to relate to them anyway, but this is the police officer. And that's the expectation. But are there times when you actually limit someone else because you see them in a particular way, you define them, you characterize them in some way, and you hold them to it? Sometimes it's done, we hold people by our resentment, and we see them only through that way. Or we hold them only by what they can do for us. And so we look at people based on what they can do for us in one way or the other, and that's, we limit people that way. Or what they can't do to us. We limit people by being afraid of them, and we see them through the filter of our fear. And so that's a narrowing of who they are. One of the interesting little teachings that I got from my first Zen teacher was I had a little bit of difficulties with my father. I was pretty young, early 20s. And I went and talked to him about my father. And he said this, he said to me, your father remembers before you were born. And he remembers after you left home. That he isn't defined by being a father. That he is more than a father. He was a person before you were born, and now that you've left home, he's living his own life. He does all kinds of things in his life. And you're only seeing him through the filter of being your father. He's more than your father. And that was really interesting to me, to hear that. And it kind of caused me to kind of look at my father in a new way and realize that I'd only seen him that in that filter and expectations of him and what he should do and shouldn't do and as the father, but he's more than that. And so, so that was helpful for me. So what's harder to see is how we define ourselves and limit ourselves through our definitions. And because sometimes the self-definitions we have for ourselves are so obviously part of who we are. It's true, right? Your definition, all your definitions are obviously true. So therefore, because they're so obviously true, they're invisible, or we just kind of accept them as being how it is. And one of the functions of something like meditation practice is to help us to see how we define ourselves, and see when and how the definitions, self-definitions, are limiting. We limit ourselves by it, and show us that there's another possibility. That we can, who we are is greater than our definition. Maybe we don't have to define ourselves at all, or if we can define ourselves, maybe we can define ourselves in a bigger way. So, people define themselves in all kinds of ways. One of the ways is classic ways by saying, "I can't speak in public." And then, well, in some ways that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I can't. Is that true that you're a kind of person who can't speak in public? Maybe it's only true because you're telling yourself that story. And maybe you can. Or I can't, all kinds of things we say, I can't. Or the other one that we limit ourselves, oddly enough, is by having needs. I need to have this happen. I don't know if any, I think most of the times people say, I need. I don't know how much people really need. But often the needs are, another way of limiting oneself, defining oneself within a limited range of what's possible. People define themselves by judging themselves, being right or wrong. Or people define themselves by what they're willing to share with other people and let other people know about themselves and what they're not willing to share with other people. And, you know, we define ourselves what's acceptable to show and what's not acceptable to show. It's not okay to show that I'm having a hard time. So if people say, how are you? Then we'll help them that will help them out so they can have the right definition of us. I'm fine, thank you. And, you know, and sometimes we're trying to manipulate people so that they can see us in a particular way, the way we want them to see us. We're trying to create a definition, a representation of ourselves that other people will live by. I usually think it's probably pretty unsuccessful. Most people see beyond how we want to represent ourselves. So all these kinds of movements of self-definition are often self-limiting and often involve clinging and holding on to something, and often is one of the important ways in which we lose our peace, lose our ease, lose our relaxation. Usually it comes along with agitation, tension, resistance, tightness, to live in definition. It's possible to have definitions that we don't live in. So, you know, you can say, well, in certain circumstances, I am my occupation, like I'm a Buddhist teacher. And I can define myself I think most of you want me to define myself that little bit, because if I decided I'm not going to do that today, maybe you'd be happy, I don't know. But it's kind of like I think it's a little bit the expectation that Gil's supposed to think that he's a Buddhist teacher so he can sit up here and try to teach. And but I try, you know, it has a certain role, it's a definition that works okay in certain circumstances, but I don't limit myself by that. I don't think of myself as a Buddhist teacher. That's what defines my identity, who I really am. I'm quite happy to let it go and do something else or be something else. But it's useful, so I kind of take it on. So, at times. So, there isn't like having definitions is wrong, but it's the agitation, the loss of our peace has to do when we lob onto it, when we cling to it, when we get caught by it. And so one of the really interesting areas of exploration is when you are suffering, when you feel agitation or fear or something, is to ask yourself, in what way is this suffering I'm experiencing connected to a limiting way in which I'm defining myself? A limiting way in which I'm identifying myself, limiting way in which I'm telling myself a story about this is who I am or this is who I'm not. What's the relationship between your suffering and your self-definition, self-representation that you have? So that's my thoughts for today. I hope that's